You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, do, Lord, Lord. Do it good. Oh, yeah.
Howdy, everybody. It's 4 o'clock. And that means it's time for your Friday afternoon Express Yourself. I hope you're as excited as I am. My name is Brian Colley, and I am going to turn Kat's mic on because I am here with Kat Rich.
Howdy, Brian.
Hi. Happy Friday. Good. How are you?
Happy Friday to you too, my dear. Here we are at Express Yourself.
We're here.
I think we were here like a month ago, weren't we?
Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Holy smokes.
I know. Well, it's exciting to be here on Express Yourself today, and today we have a fantastic lineup of interesting vignettes and things to tell you about. First, we're going to start off with the young curators of the Aspen Art Museum. Then we're going to go into an interview with Stacey Dickerson and Sky Skinner, who's the executive director of the Art Base. We're going to talk with Jen Weed and Shelley Saffer-Marot of Held, which is a show at the R2 Gallery, and a few other fantastic things going on today. So stick around. Don't touch that dial. I am very excited because to start off today, we have Annie Henninger of the Aspen Art Museum, who is also going to be here with... Sorry, we're having a little technical. We have a lot of windows going on right now. And Annie Henninger is going to talk about the Young Curators Program at the Aspen Art Museum. And we have two young curators with us, Lily McCann-Klaus and Annika Buchin. And they're going to tell us a little bit about the exhibition, What Does Gender Mean to You? And
this one, too.
We also have the exhibition that Everybody Has a Story to Tell. These are both running throughout May. What Does Gender Mean to You is running April 24th through May 24th at the Rifle Public Library. And Everybody Has a Story to Tell runs May 10th through the 14th at the Glenwood Springs High School Library. So, Annie, I'm going to turn it over to you for a sec just to take a minute to tell us a little bit about the Young Curators Program and maybe give us a little information about our fantastic curators here.
Sure. Thanks so much for having us. The Young Curators, now named the Teen Curator Program, has been in effect for 17 years. And typically, teens from around the valley, from Aspen to Rifle, come together to learn about curating. They learn from professionals in the field. They learn about what it's like to work behind the scenes at a museum. And in a typical year, they actually help to curate an exhibition of artworks that are created by their peers. And that's always on view at the Aspen Art Museum. But this year, something really exciting happened. Lily and Annika, who you will meet in a moment, are our 2021 teen curators. And they, for the first time ever, curated their own exhibition. They came up with their own curatorial project, both of which are happening off-site right now, as you mentioned. So they, as always, you know, rose to the challenge and have created some super thought-provoking exhibitions that are really timely and relevant using all of their skills that they gleaned from the program. And both Lily and Annika have been in the program before. So I'd really love to hear from them. Hopefully that was enough background for them to get started.
Excellent. And so we're going to start off with Lily. Hi, Lily. How are you? Thanks for being here today.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And you invited the public to explore their own unique relationship with gender for this exhibition, What Does Gender Mean to You? And it's kind of your hope to initiate a conversation surrounding the issue of gender and how we each experience it. So thank you very much for this project. It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your thought process here and what excites you about this.
Yeah, so being in the Teen Curators Program was really great because I got to meet so many other curators, and they kept telling me, you know, you're going to do your exhibition, you have to talk about something that's important to you, that you want to call attention to. And so this topic has been floating around my mind for a while about gender and how we're starting to kind of push the binary as far as that goes. And, you know, in the small town that I'm from, there's not very progressive, but it's a topic that isn't often talked about. And I think it's something that we need to bring more awareness to and like exploring gender, because it's not something that necessarily has to be rigid. And I think it's important for us to look at each other's perspectives, because like I said, in my call to artists, it's something that is unique experience to everyone.
And what sort of work will we be seeing in this exhibit? Is it a variety of different works, or?
It's very much a variety. I wanted to call for more casual pieces because I don't think this is a show that's necessarily for so-called artists. I think I really want anyone to submit to this. So far I've gotten writing, objects, 3D, doodles, paintings, collages, a humongous variety of things. It's great to see how many people who don't necessarily consider them artists can express themselves in so many different ways.
And are they all young people? Are they young and old? What's the mix?
We've got a range. Yeah. I'm opening it to everyone. So I have some high school students, some older folks. Yeah. It's all over the place.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In a good way.
Yeah. Well, that I think is part of what you're trying to achieve here. Tell me a little bit about what goes through your head when you see all these works put together hanging on the walls or in the galleries.
Well, I think it's a really good thing for people to see. And honestly, it's an amazing thing for me to see because, you know, I've been thinking about gender, but that's my own thoughts and possibly a few other close friends. But this is like more of an insight into people's inner thoughts and getting to see everyone's own unique perspectives on this thing in ways that I would have never dreamed of thinking about them is just, it's a really cool experience. And so I'm glad I did the show because of that. And I hope I'm sharing that with other people too.
Are you seeing conversations that are already taking place around this just in the process of curating it and working with the various artists?
Yeah. Yeah. The people who come to the show are interested in it. And of course it's your own kind of inner conversation when you're like, oh, I have to make a work about this topic, or I'm going to make a work about this topic. What do I want to say? It's kind of already sparking people's thoughts that they might have not considered before.
And do you have work in this show as well?
I do not. I'm just the curator.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. And, do you have a favorite piece or one in particular that you think, obviously everybody should check it all out, but are there highlights or?
I love all of the pieces there. I think they're all amazing in their own unique way. One that I especially enjoy is, I believe it's called Walking on Eggshells, and it's a box with a shoe, crocodile skin or alligator skin black heel, and it's got broken eggshells under it. And I think that's a really interesting take on the idea of, it was made by a woman and her perspective on being a woman and what that means to her.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that I'm a shoe person, so that would definitely resonate with me. And just quickly, because I want to make sure that we get Annika in here too, but the show is at the Rifle Public Library, correct?
Yes.
And it will be up from April 20th, or it's been up, and it will be up through May 24th, correct?
It will be up through May 24th. It'll come down the 25th, and please, I would encourage everyone listening to keep submitting, because it is open for submissions until it closes. It doesn't have to be anything fancy.
If you're interested in submitting, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
You can create your work on your own time and then come to the Rifle Public Library. There's a drop box and a submission form that you can fill out.
Great. Wonderful. Okay. Wonderful. Well, I look forward to getting myself down there to see what's happening there. And Lily, thank you so much for your important work and your time. I think this conversation is a really important one to be having, and to do it through art is a fantastic way. So thank you so much for your talent and your time.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So, and now we're going to go up the valley a little bit, and we're going to chat here with Annika. Is it Buchin?
Yeah, Annika Buchin.
Annika Buchin. Hi, Annika. Thank you so much. And Annika, her curated show is called Everybody Has a Story to Tell, and it's centered around exploring themes of personal growth and change during the pandemic. And it's running May 10th through 14th at the Glenwood Springs High School Library. So tell us a little bit about your thought process here and what excites you about it.
Yeah, so I've been in the curator program for 3 years now. This is my last year with the program. And I, just as like a blurb, I've learned a lot about curatorial practices. And one of my favorite things about that is telling other people's stories through their own artwork. Mm-hmm. And so in relation to COVID, I've really wanted to share or shed light on teen voices, because I think a lot of times our voices get overlooked, or they aren't represented enough as in the media or on mm-hmm. newscasts, television shows and stuff like that. Like, it's often adult voices. And so I wanted to give teens in the Valley, but primarily in my high school, the opportunity to really share how COVID has changed them and how it has really impacted teen lives and teen feelings in this last year, when they oftentimes don't have the opportunity to really share that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and it's been such an interesting year for all of us, but I think especially for students who, you know, aside from not being able to be in school, there's a big social piece of that you guys all missed. So, you know, I think that's definitely something to consider when you're putting together projects like this. How many works are in there? What are the medias? What types of things are we going to see?
Yeah, I got 31 submissions from various artists at my high school, but I only selected around 19. It was a juried show, which means that I only picked certain selections that were submitted to my show. So I have 19 pieces ranging from, I have a 3D piece, a pottery piece, I have some graphic design, a lot of big charcoal pieces, like big charcoal drawings, and a couple of basic pastels as well. So it's a whole wide range. I have some photographs too, some professional photography done as well.
And when you see them all together, you know, like I asked Lily here, you know, what sort of feelings are coming up for you, and what sort of conversations are you hearing?
It's very eye-opening. You know, I knew that this show was going to be eye-opening from the beginning because it's such a raw subject, but to see other teens express their own feelings about this and how vulnerable they are in expressing their feelings was a very different experience that I don't think I was ready for. I'm very open to telling my own story about COVID, but to see other teens and see their struggles was very, very new and very refreshing to see, because it was this whole new vision of feelings that had never really been shown before. So I'm very proud of the artist that felt comfortable and confident enough to submit to the show and then to have it posted up with all their peers to see. So seeing the final product was very emotional for me, not only for that aspect, but because it is my last show too.
Mm-hmm. And you've been part of the program for 3 years, you were saying.
So. Yes.
I'm sure that's been quite an experience too. Just for a minute, if you could tell us a little bit about that experience working as a young curator, and then Lily, I might ask you to do the same if we have some time. So,
yeah, I love working at the Young Curator Department. It's one of my best decisions ever in my high school career. I started when I was a sophomore. I joined because of my sister's friends who all did it at the high school, and Glenwood Springs is really encouraging of joining the program, just like all of the other high schools. And I am not really into making art myself. It doesn't give me the same kind of passion as curating a show does. So being a part of this community has been really refreshing, because I'm still able to be a part of the art realm without physically making art. Especially this year's been amazing, even with COVID, because we've gotten to meet with artists and curators from around the world. We met with people from Switzerland, from New York. And so if there are any teens listening to this or any parents with teens listening to this, I would highly recommend applying to either the curatorial program or the artist program or the teen council too. There's three of us. But it's just been an amazing experience, and I cannot thank Aspen Art Museum enough for allowing me to do this for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. And Lily, how long have you been involved in the program?
This is my second year in the program. So I joined last year. I got about 5 months, 6 months before COVID hit, where I got to work at the museum and then curated the first Young Curators online exhibition, which was a great experience. And then this year it's been all through Zoom, so it's really interesting. I consider myself primarily an artist, not a curator. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I wanted to do the program, to see the other side of it. And so far it's been really fun, because I get to see kind of like behind the scenes and what the art world is like beyond the artists, and how there's like more to it, and I've gotten to meet so many amazing people through it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Well, curating is definitely a completely separate experience from actually putting art in a show. So it's
yes.
a wonderful yeah. skill to learn. And Annie, really quickly, if you're interested in learning more about the Teen Curators program, how do you go about that?
Yeah, I would say to go to our website, which is www.aspenartmuseum.org. We have a teens page, and so the information is right there, but also anyone is welcome to contact me directly. I would be happy to chat. My email is ahenninger @AspenArtMuseum.org.
Excellent. Well, thank you all so much for your time today, and congratulations on these amazing, amazing exhibitions that y'all have put together. I can't imagine trying to balance all of that with your schoolwork and trying to be a teenager and all of that. So hats off to you both. Make sure to check out these exhibitions. Lily's, once again, is What Does Gender Mean to You? And that's at the Rifle Public Library through May 24th. And Annika's show, Everybody Has a Story to Tell, it's closing today, and it is at the Glenwood High School Library. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we've got an interview from Stacy Dickerson. She spoke with the executive director of the Art Base, and we're going to learn more about their new building, so stay tuned.
This is Stacy Dickerson with Express Yourself, and today I have the great honor to be joined by Sky Skinner, the executive director of the Art Base in Basalt. Sky's going to tell us a little bit about the Art Base and all of the exciting news that she has to share with us about what's happening at the Art Base. Sky, how are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Good to see you.
You too.
So tell us tell us.
We're in person, Stacy.
I know, it's awesome.
I mean, hello. Hi.
Hello. I'm excited to be able to let people know what's happening at the Art Base. And can you tell us a little bit about the Art Base?
The Art Base is a nonprofit community art center that's been in existence since 1996. So one of the things that's very exciting for us is that this is our 25th anniversary year.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's to celebrate. And I am very fortunate that I was able to be around during the inception of the Art Base on the Woody Creek Aspen Community School campus when Deb Jones founded the organization 25 years ago.
Wow.
So it's really
full circle.
Oh, it's such soul food for me to come in at this juncture in the history of the place and be a part of our current journey to take it long into the future.
That's fantastic. So you're one of the pieces of the relay team, and you're carrying the baton forward.
It's true. And you see that a lot in the precious nonprofits up and down the valley of people being stewards of these places that mean so much to all of us and make this valley such a fantastic place to live.
Indeed, indeed. So I know you have some exciting news, some exciting things coming down the pike. Can you tell us about your new adventure with the Art Base?
Our new home. Somehow, against all pandemic odds and through the generosity of so many longtime supporters of the Art Base, we managed to buy a building in November. And it was quite an accomplishment. And
where is that building?
174 Midland Avenue in the heart of historic Basalt. It's right between Heather's and Cafe Bernard.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a perfect sandwich.
Oh, it's a pie. I mean, we might gain a few pounds being right on restaurant row there, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect place. We bought the whole building. It is a two-story building with a basement. We've got about 2,400 square feet on the second floor, which is all going to be dedicated classroom space for our educational programs. And then we have 2,400 square feet on the ground floor and right on the street front for our new 1,400 square foot gallery.
Oh my gosh.
It's a dream. And I've been walking over there watching the kind of remodeling take place and seeing it evolve. And every time I step through the front door and I just say, this is our gallery. You know, it's going to be beautiful, beautiful place.
And have you had, did you have a design team come in to help you kind of create the space, or is it going to be pretty basically what it is right now?
Well, really, we're trying to do this on a very low budget and to, you know, save our funds as much as we can and keep that money in our programming always, you know. Not that you mix capital funding with that, but we've tried to keep our capital fundraising really modest so that we can get in there. The building itself is in great shape. It was only built in 1992, and so it doesn't need a lot. Most of what we did was tear out walls and open up spaces and then just do finishes. So our total remodel is about $500,000,
wow,
and it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
We're doing it in phases. We're going to open the gallery on May 28th. We have our first exhibit in that space, which I know it is causing me to hold my breath, but
that's just right around the corner.
What construction project isn't fraught, you know?
But exactly.
We're going to get there, and we're going to have an exhibit with Heather Cherry, who's an artist out of Boulder, and in the main gallery, in the North Gallery, is going to be a group show of our kind of circle of friends from the Art Base throughout the years, people who have exhibited in the past and just part of our artistic fabric.
Now, was there anything special about the artist or the exhibit that you chose to be the opening exhibit, or was that already on your books from your current location and you just are moving it into there?
Well, they're all special, Stacey.
Of course, of course. Oh, my gosh.
But you're right. We've had, we book our exhibitions 2 years out. And yeah. So when we offered Heather this exhibition, we never even imagined this was going to be happening, and she certainly didn't. But she's been lovely because, I mean, it's very exciting to her, but it's also a very different space. And so she had to really recalibrate her thinking about, you know, her whole gallery plan for her show.
So what is the size of your exhibition space and gallery space right now in the current building of the Art Base?
That's a really good question, I want to say.
Like 500 square feet or?
I would say not
300.
Even. We'd be lucky if it's even 250 square feet. Yeah. Our whole space right now is 1,500 square feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're moving into 5,000.
Yeah. Wow.
So we are ready to stretch our wings. We've been really happy where we are. The town of Basalt's been really good to us as a landlord for a lot of years in the old library space in Basalt. And it's been a lot like living on a boat, which there are many beautiful things about that, being very on top of one another. But we can't right now. We have a shared gallery and classroom space, so we can't have an adult class and a youth class at the same time. We can't have a gallery opening with a class going on. All that stuff is getting shuffled around all the time and gotten out of the way, and it's kind of tied our hands in terms of the amount and the type of programming that we can offer, and we're just so ready to watch that blossom in some big, big ways.
That's really great. So do you already have a full schedule for your programming, for your classroom programming for the summer?
Yeah. Well, what we're doing, part of the phasing is we're going to keep our classes in our existing space through the summer.
Oh,
which
great.
I'm very excited about because it allows us to phase the move and the transition. We're a very small staff, and we're going to be busy enough this summer. So we'll finish the classroom spaces upstairs after we get into the gallery. Classes will commence in the new building in October.
Great. I think that's so brilliant.
Yep. Well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, people in nonprofits we're wearing a million hats, and the jobs are always bigger than we are.
Yeah.
And the better we can do about just trying to pace ourselves in healthy ways when we're reaching these audacious goals is really important. I want my staff at my side on the end of this, other side of this effort. You know, they're amazing and they're making all of this work possible.
Yeah, you have a great staff, and I'm sure they love your leadership. So I'm really happy for you guys. It's so exciting. When you talk about the North Gallery, so you are you going to have two galleries or two rooms? Is that how it's going
to
look?
What we're going to try to do is we want all of our spaces to be pretty flexible and reconfigurable, and our furnishings too. So right now it's one big long space of 1,400 square feet. And we're going to have 2 8x8 movable walls that we can use to reconfigure the space. You know, it leaves a lot of possibilities open. If somebody, you know, has a body of huge works and wants to come in there and consume the space, it's something we can contemplate now. But I would say that for the most part, we probably will use one of those walls to divide that long space according to what's being displayed in terms of how deep that space might be.
Yeah.
But, and I gotta say, Stacey, I mean, we are absolutely making the path by walking it. You know, we're just gonna get in there and see how it all works out. But, you know, we're gonna have a shop, we're gonna have a fantastic little retail space, and we've, of course, watched with a lot of awe about what you guys have done at Carbondale Arts and then Launchpad. And it's so fun to have such extraordinary colleagues in the art world up and down the valley.
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening from Glenwood to Redstone to Aspen and Carbondale and Basalt and every place in between. And Willits, I mean, Takah is going to open this summer.
I know. My gosh. We're going to be so rich with art and culture. Oh.
And it never feels, I assume people know this, but I don't know what listeners know. It never feels competitive. I feel like we're all here to really compliment one another and share ideas and collaborate. And it's part of what makes the work so worth doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really part of that collaboration and that non-competitiveness is that there are so many amazing artists and so many amazing expressive and creative people in so many different ways in this valley that I don't think we could show all of them or give them all a voice in a lifetime. There's many.
Yep. And they keep coming.
They keep coming. They keep coming. So this is so exciting. Now, will you on the 28th, which is that 2 weeks from now?
Yes. Yes. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
It's like, yeah. Now, will you have an opening?
We will. It'll be a soft opening.
Uh-huh.
The show will be up for, you know, a month-ish, and we're going to be open.
Yeah.
For sure. And we will... we're adding Saturdays, so we're going to be open Saturdays. We're extending our hours on Friday and Saturdays into the evening so that we can catch some of the evening foot traffic and restaurant visitors and things like that.
Great.
So
great.
And that, too, is a path we're making by walking it because, we're very, very respectful of all of the protocols that have been going on all year through COVID.
Yeah.
And taking care of one another and just trying to be safe. And so we're right now, I think all of us are just in a real gray area about what's it all look like and what a reception's like and how many people you're going to mash into a gallery. And, fortunately, I feel like a lot of our community is really, really respectful too. And we're pacing ourselves.
Yeah, I've discovered that too when we've had events or openings or stayed open later is that people are slowly coming out and they all have a sense of distancing and I think everybody's really been really fantastic through this past year of getting out and actually seeing art coming in. What they've been doing in our gallery at Carbondale Arts is coming in much more during the day and during the week and really spreading that out but not excluding art from their lives.
Kind of off hours, just finding their time. And that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really exciting. And so next October is when you'll be out of the other building completely. But the classroom space, which will be fantastic for all of your programming this summer, you'll just continue on in the current art-based space in the old library, correct?
Yeah, we have at 99 Midland Spur. We've got all kinds of classes happening this summer. I mean, the educational program, we're all really excited that we can do it again, that we can get together in person, and we have adult programming, youth programming, our summer camps.
How do people find out about that?
Theartbase.org.
Theartbase.org. And on that, is there a link? Does it just have an education tab?
Yeah, and you can register for classes there. You can see the offerings. So we're having a full slate of summer camps for kids. We've got some great adult programs as well. And, one of the reasons why I think we have been so successful in our fundraising efforts to even get a foot in the door at this new home is because we really are focused on community and making sure that art is accessible to everyone, no matter where they're from or what their financial means are. We've never, ever turned anyone away because they couldn't afford a class. And we were running some numbers the other day and discovered we invest something like $50,000 a year in our ability to offer free, completely free after-school art programs for youth twice a week. We have free therapeutic art classes for middle school and high school. And we have a really robust scholarship program for kids. And it's a big deal. I'm really proud of that because that's
that's soul.
That's soul. And we need that. We need to expose youth to art and different forms of expression. And boy, if the pandemic showed us nothing else, it showed us how important it is to just be able to weather a lot of different situations in our lives.
Yeah.
And art is such an incredible tool for doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that is that's a perfect place to sort of end our short 15-minute interview in just saying that art is art saves lives. Art is an important part of all of our lives in this community, and I'm so honored to be able to talk to you, Sky, about the Art Base and the ongoing things that are happening there and all the new stuff. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you doing this show and getting the word out about what we're all doing. And I hope people will come visit us.
Yeah. So don't forget to check out all of the new happenings at theartbase.com.
Org.
All the classes.
Sorry.
.org. Excuse me. Artbase.org, and look forward to seeing everything at the new space at, what is the address again?
174 Midland Avenue.
Okay, and that will begin on May 28th.
Yep. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! Okay, everybody have a great weekend. Thank you.
Every man, woman, and child is catching it. It's spreading from town to town. It's called the Dactic. And they say you get it in your pants.
Oh, hell, Biggie. That ain't no epidemic. That's a brand new dance.
Thanks to Stacy and Sky for that great talk about the Art Base. There's a lot of exciting things coming up for the Art Base in Basalt. So I hope we all get to partake and check it out when it's time. Looking forward to that a lot. You're listening to Express Yourself. This is KD&K, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. The time is 4:38 and 27 seconds. Now it's later. Coming up next, we've got an interview, a live interview, with the artists at the R2 Gallery, Jen Weed and Shelley Sapphire Marolt. Stay tuned. Well, hello there, out there in the Zoom world. Are you guys there, Jen and Shelley?
Here, hi, Ryan.
Yay, it's working. Well, if you don't know, my name is Brian Colley. I also wear a hat at Carbondale Arts as the gallery manager, and it is my pleasure to be the host of this show, but also at the show at the gallery. And right now we've got a two-person show in the first room called Held, What is the Value of the Vulnerable? With artists ceramicist Jen Weed and painter Shelley Sapphire Marolt. Hello out there.
Hey, Brian.
How are you this Friday afternoon?
I'm good. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
How are you?
It's funny not to all be in the same room. This is an interesting interview.
Someday we'll all get to be together again, I'm sure. We had a good artist opening with you last Friday, which went really well. It was a great turnout.
So lively.
So lively.
So good to see people in person.
Exactly. And so I thought this could be a great opportunity for anyone who missed it to have you both sort of catch people up, tell people what your show is about, and the process that went behind it. I know you proposed this show a year ago, and it's in reality now, and it's up at the Launchpad R2 Gallery now through May 27th, I believe, and we're open weekdays 10 to 5. But yeah, why don't we start with Jen? Tell us about how you came up with this idea for Held.
So Held started when, years ago, when I was a foster parent, and the first placement I got was a one-year-old baby that came an emergency middle-of-the-night placement straight from the hospital, totally listless and had lost all bodily functions. The social worker delivers him to me, says he's not eating, he's not drinking, he's not peeing, he's not doing anything. And all I could do was hold this baby. And eventually he fell asleep. And over the course, I only had 5 days with him before he had a sibling family that was able to take him in. And over the course of these 5 days, he just clung to me, and I literally could not put him down until eventually, it was, I think, about the third night, I could finally put him down in his own bed. But I held him 24/7. Like, I didn't sleep. I just held him. But over the course of just holding him, on the first day, he would drink, and the next day, he had a little something to eat. Then the next day I could put him to sleep in his bed. And by the fifth day, I could sit him down. He was playing. He took steps. I suspect they were his first steps. And it really just blew me away, the power of just holding something when it hurts or when it's vulnerable, when it can't take care of itself. And so that was really the origin. I mean, I came from Midwestern immigrants and farmers, and it's very pull yourself up by your bootstraps, push through and work hard. And, you know, there was no coddling, as our family likes to say. And so this, you know, I was in my 40s and I had this experience and it was just radical. So I had a really clear vision for this, as basically that happened at the same time as our country grappling with race issues and the politics that took away so many human rights from vulnerable groups and the environmental protection. You know, I used to work in the outdoor industry, and so I saw these, you know, just the environmental protections being taken away. And so I really struggled with fighting for what I believed in versus what's a different way. And I ended up getting very, very sick and could no longer fight. And so my ability to do what I would always do, which is fight, was taken away from me. And so I ended up in my studio by myself, working with this very different way of being. And I had a very clear vision of it being a joint show from the beginning, but the intimacy that I wanted with the photography just wasn't possible. And then just total serendipitously, I met Shelley at an artist talk up at the Aspen Museum. And she was sharing that she was essentially in her work grappling with some of the same issues, like what does it mean to be a white person, grappling with these issues of race and different aspects of vulnerability. And so I just really clicked, and after the fact, when she gave me her card, it turns out I knew her work, and I was just like, this is the person that I want to work with. And we did, we collaborated, and it was absolutely seamless. It was just, the show became more than I could have ever accomplished on my own, and kind of everything that I had envisioned happening with this synthesis, because Shelley's portraits were so powerful. And, you know, my vessels are the very physical manifestation of holding something. Every piece of work holds something in a capacity, but Shelley's personal touch of like the very human connection with it was a really essential component. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really good pairing. I'm so glad you were able to make that connection. And I wonder, Shelley, if you could tell us about your work and how, I know some of the work is a little older, but it still relates so well to Jen's. Yeah. And can you tell us about your background as a painter and the pieces in this show?
Yeah. So first of all, I just wanted to quickly say again about the opening and how great it was for the amount of people that came and how vibrant it felt. And I feel like slowly we're getting back there. We're getting back to normal. And I'm looking forward to the summer. And Carbondale was just alive.
Yeah,
so
yeah, first Friday.
Who hasn't gotten out to Carbondale, to First Fridays, to the show at the launch pad, please do, because you'll start to feel normal again. And that felt great. That's my first, the first thing I wanted to say. So I grew up in New York City, so a very different upbringing than Jen. And my introduction to vulnerable people and vulnerable, vulnerability in general was from walking over homeless people as you go out to dinner with your family as a little kid. And so homelessness and race. I went to a small private school in New York, and we didn't have that many different races in my school, but New York is so full of that. And so the kids that were of different race in my school were a connection. It's very hard to explain. Growing up in the city is just a very different feeling. But anyway, so with the whole George Floyd thing, and I was painting at Anderson Ranch for 2 weeks, I started, like Jen said, to start to think about race and what it's like to be white during this time, and how being white makes you feel in a weird way kind of vulnerable, because you want to do something, you want to help, you want to say something, but is it my place really? And so there was a whole thing on race that got me thinking, and I was painting paintings that had to do with that. And I have adopted two Chinese daughters. And so I painted a painting. I thought, what would it be like to be in China and see a Chinese family with a white child? How would that make me feel? So all these kind of racial and homeless and all the things that have always been part of my work and how I grew up all started coming to a head when Jen asked me to be part of this show. And I had been painting portraits for a while. And so when someone asks you to come in and collaborate and start working, it lights a fire under you. And all of a sudden, everything started firing of like inspiration. And it was the most exciting time. And I really needed it. It was a time where I needed someone to get me back in my studio and get me back painting. So I think that all of that happening at once was just such perfect timing.
Wow. Yeah, I can tell when I come in the room to see that show, the collaborative spirit is there. Jen, could you just kind of walk us through the gallery? Like, what do you see when you enter the room? I want people to get a visual since it's a radio show, so they're inspired to go see the show in person.
Sure. So it's essentially set up in vignettes. As you first enter, there's a rustic old table, and on it is a shiny white tiered cake stand. So it's layers of cake stands with jewels coming down from them, and then a three-layer cake with a gold fork staked in it.
Like a real cake. A real cake that you baked.
It is a cake that I baked. Yeah. I don't know if it's a cake that anyone ate, but it's a cake that I baked.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, you're welcome to go be the first person to take a bite out of it. The below that is just a patch of dirt with rows and really rustic peasant bowls that are basically brown ceramic, intentionally rough around the edges bowls. And it's a commentary on poverty, on the gross wealth inequality, on how the privileged get to, it's of course the let them eat cake, which it turns out isn't actually an accurate quote most likely, but it certainly represents that sentiment, which of course, you know, politically we certainly had a taste of that with the Trumps being in the position of power and their grandiose wealth and opulence. Meanwhile, there's day laborers and immigrant laborers that are growing the food that we depend on to nourish us. And so to me, there's the huge, just overwhelmingly in our country, the wealth inequality is a real factor that creates lots of vulnerable populations. And if you step into the space, then behind you on either side are actual cardboard signs that homeless people made that Shelley actually, this was her project, so I'm going to let her speak to that. And then I have little hand-built ceramic houses of various sizes, kind of representing the different sizes of homes we live in. And they're functionally, they're incense burners and candle votive holders, but they're of course meant to represent just housing and what who deserves a safe place to live. Shelley, can you talk about the signs?
Yeah, just quickly, a few years ago, I did a project on homelessness and I did a 5-minute short film where I interviewed a man named Travis who had been flying signs down in Carbondale in the corner there when it was okay to fly signs. And with that movie that I did, I collected homeless signs from all the people from Carbondale to Glenwood that were flying signs. And what I would do is bring a stack of fresh cardboard and a bunch of $10 bills and some Sharpies. And I would hand them all of that in exchange for their signs. When they were all put together, when I first showed them, it's a very powerful vision to see them. And with Jen's houses, we thought it just was the perfect way to bring them back and to show them in that way. So that's how it all came about.
Yeah, it's a good addition to the show for sure, with your paintings and Jen's ceramic works.
That's definitely one of the examples of collaboration that, you know, I had these very clear visions of vignettes and Shelley's like, oh, I've got this project that I did. And it was, you know, let's bring that in. And, you know, when I was talking about the environment, she's like, I have already painted a painting of, you know, animal extinction. And so there was just so many syntheses that it was just effortless. So the ceramic houses and the actual cardboard signs kind of frame the back. And then the next is this large painting of sort of an older white woman walking a older, definitely elderly Black woman across the street. And that was actually Shelley's inspiration of her mother walking her nanny. The woman that helped raise Shelley. And this was one of the paintings that initiated my, oh, wow, I want to work with this woman and her work. And so then I have three sets of ceramic vessels. There's a pitcher, a basin, and a chamber pot representing caregiving. And of course, it's one of the most thankless jobs. I mean, caregivers in this country are, you know, they're paid $7, $10, maybe $12 an hour to do really physically demanding, but also emotionally demanding labor and caretaking some of the most vulnerable. Of course, that takes on a whole new context during COVID and the, you know, the vulnerability of the elderly population, and really brings to question, you know, in other cultures, for example, you know, I went to Ghana and I studied African culture. They value the elderly and the wisdom that comes with age in a way that, you know, America just kind of discards. And so it really brings into question, do we value the elderly? And if so, how, and caretaking them? Then the next vignette is this, it's all in kind of ivories and creams and light yellows and glitter. And it's a woman breastfeeding a very small baby with like a young toddler at her side. And then I've got vintage milk bottles in a variety of sort of colors that match, as well as reflecting different skin colors. And that's, of course, do we value women? Right now in the United States, a Latina woman earns 54 cents for every dollar that a white male earns. So I think that pretty much reflects how we value women, as well as caregiving. And do we value women and taking care of children? You know, an average woman nurses, I think, anywhere from 3 to 4 to up to 7 hours a day, every day for that infant. That's time. We don't value that time.
Yeah, there's some pretty powerful vignettes and pieces throughout this show. We have about a minute left, but I definitely want you to mention the foundation as well as the cups that you made, Jen.
So then fast forward around, there's a really powerful piece of that Shelley painted regarding racism. You can go online. Brian created this amazing virtual reality interactive. You can see it all. And so I made a variety of cups that are basically love cups. And they're all a variety of skin tones, and they're priced based on how white or how black they are, which is how our country tends to reflect the worth of skin color, which is incredibly disturbing. And hopefully if you go there and look at why the white cup costs twice as much as the black cup, you'll have a little bit of that experience. And then one of the vignettes is just the vulnerability of children, and whether it's children in cages of immigrants that are seeking asylum coming into the country, whether it's in abusive families. Shelley painted this amazing child in a bird cage. And I've got a vessel, basically a large serving bowl with little swaddled babies. And you can do either online or in person. You can choose a swaddled baby, and that money will get donated directly to the Vertil Foundation, which is a children's home and education center in Haiti, which is the poorest country in North America. It's vertilfoundation.org, maybe. Brian's got everything online if you're interested. He did an amazing job making it accessible.
Thanks so much, Jen, and to Shelley. It's a great show. Come check it out through May 27th or carbondalearts.com and check out the virtual tour. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
And thank you, Shelley, for such an amazing collaboration. It was awesome.
Back at you, Jen.
Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself.
This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It is 4:59.
Whatever you do, do, long, long. Like when you're doing what you're doing, it's what you're doing when you're doing.
Stay tuned for NPR's All Things Considered coming up next, and stick around for local and regional news at 5:34.
Gaza is under fire.